Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19. Today I give you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. Now I call on heaven and I call on earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that your descendants may live. Can I say something up front? Every choice that we make affects other people. Every choice that we make, if you just go to the next slide for me, covenant choices never happens outside of relationship. The key word for me there is choice in that scripture. And it's interesting that God had Israel before two mountains, because you know what? Sometimes we can't figure God out. So he has to put us before two mountains. He says, choose the one mountain. You know, we don't understand him. Then he says, there's two trees. But it's just a metaphorical picture for us to make a choice. But choosing life never happens outside of relationship. And I love what that scripture says. If you have life, if you have blessing, then you've made the right choice. If you don't have life, if you don't have blessing, you have yourself to blame because you made a wrong choice. That's how simple it is. But something that we as Christians must stop saying, because I received the money, because I have a husband, because I have children in university, they're studying, because I have enough money, because I have a car, I'm blessed. That nonsense must stop. You're blessed, I'm blessed. You know why? Because our names are written in the book of life because of a choice. That's why we're blessed. That is why all of us are blessed. So if the storms come and all the difficult circumstances, we have life because we have chosen life. Maybe by now you've heard about the news. Joel Osteen's wife saying on a YouTube clip, don't worship God for God, worship God for yourself, because it's about yourself. We're talking now about Lakewood, the home of Israel Houghton and a whole bunch of other very good worship leaders. But we've got to make choices. And all that God is saying, if you have all life, you've made the right choice. But if you don't have it, you've got yourself to blame. And it's a choice that we need to make, because it's about covenant. It's about covenant. And the key is the choice. But you know what? Jesus said it so beautifully. Jesus said, you can gain the world, whole world, but then you can forfeit your soul. Jesus said, you can be successful in this life, but if you made the wrong choices, you will forfeit your soul. Every day we must make covenant choices, and these choices have eternal consequences. We can't run away from it. Whether we make bad choices or good choices, but if you make a choice, have you noticed when you make a bad choice, you always affect a lot of other people? Isn't it so? A dad deciding to walk out on his children. A mother deciding to abuse her children. A family going bankrupt about bad choices. It affects everybody. And what we're talking about here is life. And it's about covenant. And I want to read you a beautiful scripture. I love scripture. You know how much I love scripture. Wow. I can't tell you this. And because it's about relationship, I want us to understand this, that every choice that we make, it involves people. So, let's read Psalms 50, verse 15 and 17. Because of the relationship, I'm also just teaching you principles. Principles on how to run your everyday relationships that when you're with people. Watch this. We're talking about choices. We're talking about covenant choices. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about choose life. Watch this. And call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And you shall honor and glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or my covenant. You see there, there's that word covenant again. What right do you have to recite my statutes or my covenant or pledge on your lips, seeing that you hate instruction and correction and cast my words behind you? There's an issue there. Daar sommer 'n manier van 'n saak daar. And we have to talk about that this morning. And I want you to smile because the word of God brings life. But did you see the issue when it comes to choices and covenant? God says, look, you wanting to talk to me about my covenant, but I have a small problem with you, which is actually a big problem. But there's a problem that we need to talk about, and the problem that we need to talk about is the issue of correction and instruction. Do you know how many people I sit down with and then I talk to them? Then God brings correction. God says you must correct this behavior in your life. And then God says as you correct this behavior in your life, you must follow these instructions. And people can't. Dit word al meer duideliker in die laaste dat daar soveel mense nie gekorrigeer wil word nie en hulle kan nie instruksies volg nie. Ooh, in our home, this is a fight. Hoeveel keer moet ons met julle praat? Dan loop die trane. Een keer, papa. Een keer. We want to correct this thing and we're giving you instruction. Do what we say. Now, that's an issue. Go back to that scripture. I want you to read it with me. I want to read it from the beginning. You can call on me in your day of trouble. I will deliver you. God says he doesn't have a problem with delivering us. And you shall honor and glorify me. But now watch what God says. But to the wicked God says, what right you have to recite my statutes, take my covenant or my pledge? You see, the wicked here, they know the Lord's law and his covenant. So God is talking about people in his church. He's not talking about wicked people, evil people that does not know him. Seeing that you hate instruction and correction and cast my words behind you, discarding them. This is a big issue. It's a big one. It's a biggie. Read with me from Proverbs. He who keeps instruction in the way of life is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Watch there. Again, correction and instruction. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Can I have your attention, please? For 10 seconds. If you're sitting here this morning and you struggle to receive correction and you struggle to receive instruction, I want you to start dealing with it today. I'm going to tell you why. It's not going to be long that the devil will take you captive. He will. And you will go astray. The devil will take captive of you if you can't receive correction and instruction. He'll deceive you and you'll go astray. The same principle applies for me. Ons moet ons wipontsteerdhoudings los. Beter weet terug, ek weet beter as die Here, ons moet dit los. Ons moet ons hart oop en ons moet ontvang wanneer hy ons korrigeer en wanneer hy vir ons instruksie gee. And so this is the big one. And so if you are going to get married, or if you have somebody that you like, julle date nog. Julle is by die sokkies, julle skoffel. Ooh, julle is gelukkig. Mense, as daai persoon nie gekorrigeer kan word nie en as daai persoon nie instruksies kan vat nie, moenie nou trou nie. Date maar nog net eers. Want dit is verskriklik om in 'n plek te sit en met iemand te sit wat jy kan ontvang nie. Mense, dit is verskriklik. Dat is die ou mense sê, jou bed is opgemaak. Nou moet jy maar so sit, en nou moet jy maar wonder, so wanneer hou dit op? God, when's this gonna stop? And it's like God is ignoring us, because correction and instruction has to do with the ability to receive. In other words, it has to do with humility. And at the root, it lies at the heart of what Satan, what happened to him. I'm not going to receive from you, God. You're not going to give me instruction. I'm a God also. And you know what happened? God said, well, the universe is only big enough for me, not for the two of us. With that ego, we cannot coexist. For now, I'll cast you out of heaven, and I'll deal with you later. Are you with me? Watch this beautiful. Did I put this proverb on there? Whoever loves instruction and correction loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is like a brute beast, stupid and indiscriminating. Dit sou nou baie lelik gewees het as ek het gesê het, maar nou het ek dit gesê en dit is een van Salomo se. And what scripture's talking about is the fact that a lot of people, they become animal-like. And to protect themselves because they cannot receive correction and destruction, they rip people apart. They'll become like beasts. They'll act stupid. And so scripture says, answer a fool according to his folly. Sometimes when people are stupid, we must give them stupid answers. Just for the sake they can't receive, so you must deal with them on their level. Sometimes people, and I'm talking about relationships, sometimes people want to settle things in public, then you just sort them out in public. Sometimes people want to be manipulative and lying, then you just stop them and say, you stop the manipulation, you stop the lying, this stops today. We don't do that in the kingdom. Indiscriminating. Watch what 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction and instruction. In other words, we don't get spooky around a lot of issues. We go right back to scripture and we say, what does scripture say? We abide, oblige, and we love scripture. We stick with scripture. That's the standard by which we measure ourselves, because scripture is Jesus, the living word. So that's the issue that we're dealing with here this morning within relationship, correction and instruction. Now, what do you do if you see that somebody struggles with correction and instruction? What do? You lovingly confront them. Let all that you do be done in love. You sit them down, and then you tell them, I see a tendency in your life not to receive when people wanting to rectify this problem in your life. Secondly, the Lord has given you these instructions. You're not doing it. We have a problem here. You've got to choose life. You're not choosing life. And for where I'm at now, if people get ugly, if they like brute beasts, if they devour, rip apart, I stand up and I tell them, I still love you, but I'm walking out on this relationship. This is not for me. You're going to hurt me. Because like scripture says, you're going to act stupid. And because of your choices, you're going to hurt a lot of people around you. So you better make the right choice. That's where I'm at now in my life. I'm not wanting to deal with people that's wanting to run around scripture anymore. But the same that it applies to me. The same that it applies to me within my marriage. But when you're in marriage, you can't divorce over that. Can I make that clear? You stick with that person. And the best that I can do is we'll pray for you, but I feel sorry for you. Really. Because that's a sad, sad state of affairs to be in. Now, talking about covenant partners and choosing life and instruction and correction, I want to take you to a situation. I just want to give you background. Everybody in Israel knows that David has been anointed as king. So, an evil spirit takes hold of Saul. It's a spirit of envy and jealousy. That's a very evil spirit, envy and jealousy. I can tell you now, that thing will make you take other people out. It's the same that was in Cain. It's the same that was in Saul. Scripture says that the scribes and the Pharisees were envious and jealous of Jesus. Proverbs says, anger we can handle, but who can stand before an envious and jealous man? In any event. So, Saul is being tormented by a spirit and David has to play the harp. Now, when Saul foams, then David plays the harp and then Saul gets calm. David do not fear. Tring, 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 and then Saul gets calm. But then Saul gets crazy again and he wants to pin David, so he runs away. But now the whole Israel knows that Saul's not king anymore. Even Jonathan, Saul's son, says, David, you're the king. Here's my kingly robe. They cut covenant there. He made a choice. But now David, he's hiding away with a band of men and he's just chilling. He's not touching the Lord's anointed. He's not rude with Saul. But now some of the other guys of Israel, of the 12 tribes, they make a choice. And I would figure it out, their choice would be like this. And I'm going to do it in Afrikaans because I'm just figuring this conversation out in Afrikaans. It's not in scripture, but this is how I think it went down. Manne, Saul is mal. Julle gesien. David is koning. Ek weet nie wat ons hier soekie. Ons beter sorg dat ons by David uitkom. Hier gaat ons vrek van die honger. Hy man is die goeie nisie. Kom ons respekteer hom as koning, maar kom ons sorg dat ons by David uitkom. Wie saam met my? And so a lot of people went with these guys from all the tribes. But there's a specific tribe, there's two tribes that I want to focus on. En nou swem die ouens nogals oor 'n vol Jordaan ook. Just watch this. These were the men who crossed the Jordan River during its seasonal flooding at the beginning of the year and drove out all the people living in the lowlands on both the east and the west bank. Others from Benjamin. It's a tribe that the Apostle Paul comes from. And Judah came to David at the stronghold. David went out to meet them and said, if you have come in peace to help me, we are friends. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies when I am innocent, then may the God of our ancestors see it and punish you. Then the spirit came upon Amishai, the leader of the 30. And he said, we are yours, David. We are on your side. Peace and prosperity be with you and success to all who help you. For your God is the one who helps you. So David let them join him and he made them officers over his troops. Interesting story. These guys, they're about 30. They swim over a flooding Jordan. They come there, they're coming there. And can I say this? When it comes to covenant, there's a reason why God brings people together. There's a reason that you're in this church. There's always a reason why God brings people together. Just like this. So David just says, look here, if you're here to waste my time, God will judge you. Let's just get this straight. Let's talk about this. Let's make choices. Let's talk about covenant here. And what I see David does here, David sees the gifting on their lives. How do I know David sees the gifting? Because David appoints them as captains. So hy sien hulle begaafdheid raak, want wie swem oor 'n vol Jordaan rivier? He talks to them, he says, look here, I know. And then something very interesting happens. Amisai, the Spirit of the Lord, and he says, David, you're king. David, we believe in you. David, we know you're God's man. Do you know what principle is there? If we want to go into covenant relationships, we must recognize the gifts on each other's lives and then respect it. Ek gaan in kinderkerk. Dit klink lekkerder as hier, nee. If you can't do that, I'm going to make an example. If you can't walk into a small group and recognize the gift of the small group leader on his life, you'll never respect him. There will never be respect. But the same with the small group leader. The small group leader must be able to see the person in that small group's gifting and respect that. Dit werk by jou werk ook so. Your boss can be harsh, but you must see the anointing on the man's or the woman's life. That's how God designed it. Are you with me? It's a beautiful principle. Each individual must recognize there's a person, there's a reason why God brings us together. So, let's see what David does. Just testing their relationships, then we're going to end off here. Number one, David tested their honesty. Ek like wat David sê, hoekom het julle hier gekom? Don't lie to me. Why have you come here? If you've come with the wrong heart and with the wrong attitude, God will judge you. But why did you come here? Watch what scripture says. And for relationship's sake, test people's honesty. Test people's honesty. You must test people's honesty. You can't be covenant friends with dishonest people. What have become of us? That we have dishonest friends next to us and in our houses. We must lovingly confront dishonest people. I can't believe that Christians would be friends with dishonest people. Test their dishonesty. Look what Job says. Ooh. Job says, have I lied to anyone or deceived anyone? Lord, let God weigh me on the scales of justice. You know, that's a very scary prayer to pray, but pray it regularly over your life. God, weigh me. Weigh me. Weigh my spirit. Weigh my honesty. Because honesty is about the state of being honorable or truthful, upright, and fair in dealing with others. Proverbs 24 verse 26 says, an honest answer is like a kiss of friendship. Honesty is one of the most intimate expressions of friendship. It's like you're kissing somebody on the lips. Honesty is real intimate. And if there's no honesty, there can be no existing covenant relationship. It cannot exist. Covenant relationship cannot exist outside of dishonesty. Sorry, I should say, it can only exist if there's honesty. But if there's any dishonesty, it cannot exist. It cannot. Test people's honesty. Are you with me? It's important. Do I have that one there? Matthew 5, 37. No, I don't have it. But I just want to read it to you. That's why, watch what Jesus says, Matthew 5, 37. Just say a simple yes or a simple no. I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. I wanted to flight that other scripture of John chapter 6 where Jesus just says to the Pharisees, look here, you're not of me, you're of your father the devil, because he's been lying since the beginning of the world. That's your father. Because that's where lie started. Lie started with him. So he's your dad. I'm not your dad. You're liars. But I thought, no, it's going to be too tough. But now I've said it, it's not tough anymore. David tested their understanding of divine order. In other words, David tested them. Look here, do you know that I'm king? You must know that I'm king. I see you're a captain, but then you must know I'm a king. Do you understand divine order? Do you understand that I'll be your king? Look what Peter says. Peter says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Did you see there? You don't fear people, you only fear God, but you honor people. Watch there, the scripture. It's very simple. It's beautiful. And what he's saying is we should know how to relate to each other in a proper way. Respect the person's office. I'm talking about a spiritual thing now. Mr. Pians of this school, he's in a spiritual office. You respect the man's office. You honor the office. Even if he makes mistakes, you honor his office as principal. God has appointed him in an office as principal. You honor the man, even if, and I'm just using him as an example. That's why scripture says, wives, even if your husband is unbelieving, you honor him. You don't disrespect your husband if he's unbelieving. Because I've appointed your husband in the office as husband and leader. I know he's a drunkard, I know, but you honor him. Nou kan 'n mens mos nie dit goed sê nie. Wanneer jy mos die social workers op jou. En my vrou is een. So sy's eerste op my. Maar daai is 'n grappie, man, jy moet lag ook. Ek sien julle stens vanoggend. We're talking about covenant relationships. I'm talking about God has taught me about covenant. And what I'm learning now, you know, there's a lot of people that I should have tested their honesty long ago. There's a lot of people that I had to sit down. Do you understand how authority and submission works? Please tell me, how do you relate to your mom and your dad? Do you listen to your mom and your dad when they talk to you? Are you rebellious? Because if you are, then we must talk about this. You have difficulty receiving instruction. David tested their loyalty. David said, guys, let's cut through the facade here. Just let me see. Are you here? Did you hear what David said? Are you here to betray me? Het julle dit gesien in die skrif? Moet ons dit gou eers weer lees. Het julle hom gesien, hè? He said, are you here to betray me? Proverbs 27:10 says, do not forsake. Do you know I have so many scriptures? I just wanted to show you that scripture interprets scripture. So that which happened between David and that gang doesn't stand on its own. There's other scriptures that supports that scripture. That's why I have so many scriptures. Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend. Do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. You know what? Sometimes your brothers in church, they're more faithful than your own family. Isn't it so? Blood isn't thicker than water anymore. It's supposed to be. And that's what Proverbs says. Sometimes it's good to have a brother with you that's loyal. And the thing here is about you need people with an undivided heart. You need to tell people, I'm not getting your support here. I need your support here. And that's what David was saying. I need people with undivided hearts. I can't deal with disloyalty. And so scripture teaches this in a beautiful way through Jesus. The soldiers can't get to Jesus unless Judas kisses him. So die soen verklap alles. Is 'n mooi soen, maar is ook 'n lelike soen, is 'n valse soen. And right there, Jesus turns to Judas and Jesus says, you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? You think I'm stupid? I see right through you. Betrayal, disloyalty, tests people's loyalty. Then, David tested their faithfulness. You can read right through the scriptures how David would say, I need water, I'm thirsty. Who's going to do this for me? Who's going to do that for me? And it's fine to test each other's faithfulness. Imagine my wife married the unfaithful Carlos. Just imagine that. She married somebody unfaithful. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? There's a difference. There's a difference between what men are and what they want people to think they are. Daar's 'n klomp mense wat vir jou wil sê hulle is so, maar is hulle nie regtig so nie. Hulle wil jou laat glo dat hulle so is. En dis wat hy skrif sê. There's a lot of people that say, I'm loyal, I'll stick to you, I'm your brother from another mother. Yeah, but hulle is af jy soos 'n sak patats los. When the storms come, they'll drop you. They'll drop you right there. And so scripture says you must test people in this area of faithfulness. You must test them. That means that we must discern people's character. You see, we read love wrong. When we think God so loved the world, we think we must love everybody, love, love. Yes, that is right, but your love must have discernment. And yes, sometimes you'll have the one that will kiss you on the cheek, betray you. Sometimes you'll invite people into your home and all your cutlery will disappear. Your ABBA DVDs is weg. Ek het gister story gehoor, die ouens het ingebreek by mense. Toe steel hulle die vrou se Tamia kaartjies wat sy geboek het. Na Tamia se singe. For those of you who don't know, she's a singer from America, a very famous singer, and so they stole the tickets and then they went to the show. So the police arrested them on the chairs. How stupid can you get? You know, but sometimes we befriend people like that. Hulle bestel en belieg jou rotten kaal. En as hulle voor jou is, hulle... for you, he's so good for me. And I've been in those situations so many times when brother kissed me, it's not nat, ek is nat geheel. But as soon as that man turns, he bites you in the back. And so scripture says we must test that. And do you know, I'm not saying this to write people off, I'm saying it to lovingly confront them. Remember what I said, I want you to lovingly confront people like that. And the reason why I'm saying that, because they have difficulty in receiving correction and instruction. And the reason I'm saying that, I don't want them to go astray. I don't want the devil to take them captive because they can't receive. That's why we must lovingly confront them. Then the last one, David tested their spirituality. When Amasai prophesied, David immediately knew this was God speaking. This man's a captain. Now this is something that God must help us. Because there's a lot of fake spirits. Let's just read what the scripture says. The scriptures will speak for itself. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them, see if the Spirit they have comes from God. You know how much flattery there is in the kingdom of God. Christene wat jam om mekaar se bekkies smeer net om in te wees. Weet julle hoe baie daarvan is? It's not of the Lord. It's a nice thing. It's a beautiful thing. As 'n braaitjie, blommetjie dingetjie, but it's not of the Lord. Dit is soms hoe hier diep uit ons binnestes uit. Sometimes we flatter people and that's an evil thing. And so scripture says, guys, be careful. Don't flatter people. There's a genuine place where you do bless people. I'm talking about, but there's also a thing that we must be careful of flattery. But test the Spirit. You must test the Spirit. For there are many false prophets in the world. There's a lot of false prophets in the world. Scripture is clear about it. This is how we know. I think I stopped there, hey. But just keep it there. I want to read the rest. This is how we know that if they have the Spirit of God, if a person is claiming to be a prophet, acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in the real body, that person has the Spirit of God. In other words, what scripture is saying, if a brother is prophesying but he's not acting like Jesus, you can seker maak, he's a phony. Phony baloney. Look what Timothy says, 1 Timothy chapter 4 1. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, do we have it there? Oh, I just have it here for myself, but I'll read it. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. I just want to read you one more scripture. You can write it down. Jeremiah chapter 14 verse 14. Just watch this beautiful one. Then the Lord said, these people are telling lies in my name. I did not send them or tell them to speak. I did not give them any messages. They prophesy of visions and revelations they have never seen or heard. They speak foolishness made up in their own lying hearts. So I want to stop there this morning. I was just giving you some tips on how just to protect you. Now, what I'm not saying this morning, I'm not saying that you should be like Magnum P.I. thinking there's a devil around any bush and under every bush. Met ander woorde, ek sê nie vanoggend jy moet oor almal agterdogtig wees nie. But where you do this, discern this, sit people down and you must talk with them. We must talk. You see, this is the season of secret sins. This is the season where God reveals our secret sins. This is the season where God reveals all the choices that you make in private. God makes it public. And oh, is it a shameful season. Ek gaan dit in Afrikaans sê ook, dis die seisoen wat God al jou privaat besluite in die publiek tentoonstel. Dit is so seisoen. Dis die seisoen van al ons geheimsinnige sondetjies. Ja, but it's a good season. It's a God season. I love the season. I love it. I love the way God speaks to us. I love the way our God is confronting us. I'll tell you, ek sê vir my vroeg gereeld, ek voel soos 'n drop lekkerkie. Drop kan jy maar so rek. Hy breek jy so many, but it's like Christ is just stretching my spirit. But I love having the conversations with the people nowadays. I love going back to scripture and say, God, show me in scripture where you show this. So this morning, I gave you the tips to test. Take the tests, work it through for yourself. But there's this one issue that I want to focus on. I want to focus this morning on receiving correction and instruction. That's all that I want to focus on this morning. I want us to break bread around that, and I want us to start praying about this, because I want this sorted out before next year. God must help us and teach us how to confront people in that way. God must help us. You can please Susanna, the bread and the wine. But that is what God wants us to deal with right now. And it's an issue. It's a big issue within the body of Christ. And all that I'm saying is, God, give us the wisdom like David. Because you know what I would like? I would like in that blink of a moment just to see the Spirit of the Lord on people and know this is God, like the Spirit came over Amisai. And David immediately knew this is a brother. Could you flat? Could you flat that scripture of Psalms again, Psalms 50, that last part, verse 17? Please, Hein, seeing that you hate instruction and correction and cast my words behind you, discarding them. So ek het die ander die tips net ingegooi vir julle wat in verhoudings is, wat in die huwelik is. Net wie om rondom die goed te gesels. Al as jy 40 jaar getroud, 23 jaar, sit net hier met mekaar en sê, love, how's your loyalty towards me? Are you still loyal to me, my love? Is there any part in your heart that's doubting me? Just sit down and talk about these things. It's so nice to talk about it. You know why? Or let me say the negative part of it. You know why we don't do it? Like the first part of the scripture, Ayn, please. Call on me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. We are scared of God the deliverer. Christians are scared of God the deliverer. Can I ask you something? Why are Christians so scared of deliverance? We shouldn't be. He calls himself God the deliverer. He will deliver you from any situation. So don't be scared. Four days ago, me and Alan, we had a beautiful deliverance, both of us. He was crying, I was crying. And then 2 days after that again, we were just praying for one another, and God just delivered us again. On Friday, I just came to my wife, and I told my wife, you know, this heaviness on my heart, and I'm so sorry that I did this and this to you. And I just grabbed her, and I wept like a baby. And I knew God was delivering me. En ek nou nou nog wat klein handjies, Jesus, julle, klein handjies gryp my hem so agter en sy hou my net so vas. And I felt so safe with my wife. It was a God moment. It was one of the best God moments with my wife. And I treasure her so much. Because just the fact that we can receive from one another correction and instruction. Do you know how beautiful that thing is in marriage? It's one of the most beautiful things when you can do that. And that's what I'm challenging you with this morning. We've got to get this right. And you know what? Sometimes the things that God will tell you to do, it will not look natural. It would look really dumb, but it would be so spiritual. And we're going to trust God to help us. Because we want to get to the place of Joel chapter 2. Where the army of the Lord, they don't jostle one another and they're not out of rank. But they're all in step. And I was reading it again. These guys, that army, die skrif sê hulle spring oor berge met hulle perde. Gaan lees dit net weer. Mense, dis 'n giftige army. They come into people's homes, stealth style, through the windows. They take what that bits belong to the God, and as the way there's fire on them, and he says, "Ray for Papa." I kijk so om hom. That's the army, and I know that's where God wanting to take us. That's the place of rain. That's the place that God wants to take us. But then we need to receive correction and instruction. We want to be like David's mighty men. Go read about David's mighty men. There's actually a guy that looked like a lion. Gaan lees, hulle sê, so leeu gelyk. Nou wonder ek hoe lyk 'n man so leeu, het hy man haar vat. Gaan lees regtig, gaan lees die skrif. Hulle sê hy't so leeu gelyk. He was a mighty man in battle. Daar's ouens wat mure geklim het. It was amazing what David did. But David did all this test and David knew. You know, when David's kingdom was ripped from him is the fact that his son Absalom never wanted to receive correction and instruction. So his own son took his kingdom away from him. Correction, instruction. Just before Cain killed his brother, God came and said, Cain, I see there's something lurking at your door. It's very evil. But Cain, you must rule over it. Cain, I'm giving you correction and I'm giving you instruction. Rule over it. Cain never ruled over it. He killed his brother. Correction and instruction is meant to help us because Christ is our deliverer. Father, in the name of Jesus, my heart is that we will soften our hearts to receive correction and instruction from your Holy Spirit and from one another. God, In the name of Jesus, I pray now that you will reveal to people that they have, if there's any place in their hearts that's hardened, that does not want to receive correction, and that does not want to receive instruction, that you'll show that to us so that we can test the spirits and test everything around us. Lord, you're so challenging us, God, in this season, but we want to be obedient and we want to stay obedient. And Father, we bring our will before you. We bring everything before you, Lord. We bring our minds before you that just wants to do its own thing. We bring our flesh before you that just wants to go in this one direction. We bring our spirits before you. God, in this morning, we cry out, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil that's following us and that wants to bog us in, Lord. Box us in, Father. God, we need your deliverance desperately in church. Because the whole world doesn't want to receive correction and instruction from you. But God, you're wanting to start with your church so that we can take this message out. And so, Lord, this morning, we take the bread. And we pray that we will be obedient even to the point of death.